Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swiley here. My man Emmanuel Acho Crispy clean up here.
You outdressing me, and I don't like it.
Nah, I don't know what they call that scorpion on there, but that thing look rich right there. Airbows, brother.
Airbows, my brother.
All right, let's get into it today, starting with Antonio Brown, whose NFL future is still up in the air after months of speculation about if and where Antonio Brown would sign. One NFL insider, former GM Mike Lombardi, says Tampa Bay is chipping away at the idea of signing the troubled wide receiver. The report has been disputed, and Bruce Arians poured cold water on the idea a few months ago. But Acho, you think AB would be a good fit with Brady's Bucks?
Not at all. My friend Marcellus Wiley, you're a very, very, very smart man. I will continue to remind you along with the rest of the world that.
Please.
But I have a simple question for you.
Yes, sir, sir.
How many footballs are on the field at one time?
Carry the two.
Carry the two.
One.
There's one ball on the field.
Okay.
They already have several dogs out there at wide receiver. You got Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
You have Mike Edwards. You Mike Evans. You have tight ends galore with Rob Gronkowski, that addition. It's only one ball on the field. Let me put this in perspective for everybody. Antonio Brown, in the last 6 years, the fewest targets he's ever had, 153. The fewest targets Antonio Brown has ever had in a season he played.
Right.
He wants the ball. That's what receivers want. Well, last year, the Bucs only threw the ball 600 times. So, again, if you carry the two, that's about 25% of the time Antonio Brown, he's going to want a target on his team. A team where, again, you already have Mike Evans and you have Chris Godwin. The other thing about this, receivers, notoriously divas. We know that. They styly. They
you classy, really going to say that as a player?
But I'm going to couch it by saying this.
Okay, please.
Chris Godwin literally took the jersey off his back and gave it to Tom Brady by giving up his number 12 so that Tampa Brady can wear that jersey.
Right.
So you already see the rapport is there. The humility is there. Why would you mess up a good thing? You know what they say. If it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Don't you dare fix it.
But wow, I mean, for you to come up here and really profess the too much talent on a team argument, like that's where you just went. Oh, they're going to have too many weapons. You know how that's going to play out. They're going to have some little fifth round cornerback who's sitting there in nickel having to deal with, okay, I can't guard Godwin. I can't guard Evans. All right, I got Antonio Brown. This is a smart play if you think about this. Now, I got to preface everything by first saying Bruce Arians was like, this ain't happening. Like in March, he said that. He poo-pooed it. And also, Mike Lombardi went out there and says, well, Tampa needs to do something because Cam Newton signed to the Patriots. I didn't see that correlation there. But let's still have some fun with this conversation. I'm not here to legislate. I'm not here to adjudicate.
Please don't.
But damn it, when this dude can play, he gonna participate. And he gonna be on my team. Antonio Brown. Hold on. You and I are sitting here for very obvious reasons. I fell off the cliff. And you played 3 years. And now look at you hosting the show at 29, boy. You're setting records in broadcasting. But neither one of us were Hall of Famers. And this is Hall of Famer.
You're right.
Who is sitting on the shelf collecting dust when there's an opportunity for him to play somewhere. Why not go somewhere where he trusts the quarterback and he's going to trust the system and it's not going to be all about him. He's just going to be able to pick up the crumbs.
I'm going
to
tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because you said sitting there collecting dust and it made me think of something. Yesterday, Marcellus, I was trying to get ready for the show. I knew you was going to be casket sharp, Easter Sunday sharp. So I said, I got to come with my best.
Chris.
I put my whole outfit together. I get my tie.
All right.
I get my pocket square.
All right.
I get my tie bar. I go to the stylist, Breger, and I say, you know what? What do you think if I add a brooch? You know, what do you think if I add
that thing? That's what that's called? That's a brooch.
Oh. I say, what do you think if I add this to the outfit?
Okay.
And you know what she says? She says, that's too much. You're doing too much because by adding that extra piece, you are now detracting from the entire outfit. Adding Antonio Brown, you want to know what that is, Marcellus?
Too much.
It's doing too much. You got Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. They gave you 2,500 yards last year, 2,490 to be exact. That led the NFL. In the last decade, top 10 when you're talking about yards by a duo.
Beast.
They gave you a combined 17 touchdowns last year. They gave you a combined 2,300 yards last year. So you're going to now take a tandem that is already the best in the NFL, and you're going to try to make that tandem a trifecta, but you already added Rob Gronkowski, a future Hall of Famer. What you're saying don't make sense to me, my brother.
Well,
it don't make sense.
Well, let me make it make sense for
please,
you, okay? Sometimes you got to get analogous. Sometimes you got to go outside your comfort zone to see it in a different realm, and maybe that will help you digest this. How many balls are at play when you play the game of basketball?
Still only one.
Still only one? Damn, they don't change it because it's a different sport?
They don't change it.
Okay. And how did that one ball work out when the Golden State Warriors said, let's add Kevin Durant? We already got Steph. We already got Klay. We already got Draymond. We already got a great coach. We don't need somebody else. Excuse me, Dougie Fresh. Yes, you actually do need somebody else. In the process of evaluation, you're always thinking enhancement. You have to. This is the perfect play. Antonio Brown, I don't know by the numbers if he will go by the, on the cheap, because Antonio Brown's still like, look, I'm going to catch you 100 balls. I'm still a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. But in terms of humility, in terms of him fitting in terms of him saying, man, thank you so much for this opportunity. I need to go out there and play. This kind of seems like a no-brainer in my mind in terms of Antonio Brown going out there and added to any team, let alone a team that's already stacked. Do you have any more to this?
Yes, I do.
You still want to get this? Take this L?
Because here's the thing. Here's what you're not considering. Remember, bro, when you were in, we'll call it like sixth grade chemistry class, and you're learning about building things and compiling things, you're learning about the elements, the periodic table, hydrogen, helium, beryllium, all that stuff. Mm. And you have that one experiment in class where you start adding different chemicals to see what happens.
Okay.
But then you mess around and you might add sodium to something that's already sitting steady in a steady state. Yeah. And all of a sudden that volcano erupts.
Yeah.
It erupts because you added that one element, which you didn't need to add.
Mm.
You already have a steady offense that was first, if I'm not mistaken, in passing offense, third in offense, third in scoring offense. And what you, Marcellus, want to do, you want to put on your goggles. What you, Marcellus, you want to do, you want to put your scientific white coat jacket on, and you want to take Antonio Brown and sprinkle a little Antonio here and hope that it doesn't erupt. That's what you want to do.
I thought I was just making Fresh fresher, but, you know, the way you broke it down, I caught that little flex, too. Sixth grade and chemistry. Boy, ain't nobody taking no chemistry in sixth grade. You crazy. Let's move to another receiver with a lot to prove. Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ's first season in Cleveland, didn't exactly go according to plan. And after his workout buddy Cam Newton landed in New England, people started speculating Odell could join him. But the receiver made it clear he and the Browns have big plans this year, tweeting, quote, you can find me in the land, homie. We got unfinished business. So, Acho, you think Odell and the Browns are contenders or pretenders this year?
Man, it's no disrespect to Odell. Odell, to me, the most athletic player in the NFL. Odell, to me, the most talented, or at least one of the top three most talented receivers in the NFL. But I study history. Because history will often predicate and tell you about the future.
So chemistry and history. Damn, your sixth grade was tough.
It was tough. It was tough. I barely made it, okay? But here's what I know.
Man.
In 2016, Hugh Jackson, you know, they struggle with the Browns, and he says, well, after 1-15, that's not going to happen again.
Mm.
We will not go 1-15 again. Well, he was right. Went 0-16. Okay, I remember Baker Mayfield after week one. You know, they win. Dilly, 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 dilly. We still got a lot to accomplish. We have unfinished business.
Mm.
Well, next 2 years, they lose 17 games. I remember Jarvis Landry. Ooh. He gives a very profound and motivational speech on Hard Knocks. Rah, rah, we gonna get everybody right. We saw what happened to the Browns that season. So again, Odell Beckham, 2020. We got unfinished business.
All right, here you go.
Here's the problem, Odell. I'm not convinced that business will ever get finished.
Mm.
I think that is a business that unfortunately will stay unfinished. Again, it's no knock on Odell. It's no knock on any individual participants in that overarching entity. What I am simply saying is that history has told me the Browns make promises that they can't keep. History has told me the Browns write checks that they cannot cash. So if you're asking me to answer the question, if you're asking me to bet on one side, I have to bet on history and say the Browns are pretenders.
Wow. I'm going contenders all the way. Complete 180 from you. That is funny, though. When you go 1-15, you say, we will not do that again. But wait, it gets worse. The next year you go 0-16. That said, they are contenders. First of all, I'm just going to read off names.
Please.
And this is a fun thing we should always do with the casual fan, people who didn't really walk in that locker room on the field. When casual fans can read off names of your squad, you got a squad. You got talent. When I can say Kareem Hunt, oh, yeah, you're not even starting. Nick Chubb is in the building, right?
Yeah, man.
So look at that duo right there. You talk about adding Austin Hooper, Wood, and Joko.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got too much squad. Odell, Jarvis, healthy, Baker, all these guys sitting outside of their greatness in terms of what they realized last year and realizing, hey, it's time for me to go out there and step this up no matter how great I've been and no matter how difficult this task is. But I think the most important thing is to really look at leadership. This is about leadership. You talked about, I'm tired of hearing the Browns say something they can't live up to. I don't care what the building says. I don't care what the uniform says. I care about those who are wearing that same uniform. When you get a coach in there, Kevin Stefanski, who comes from Mike Zimmer. Now, Mike Zimmer was my coach in Dallas. Mike Zimmer is about the NFL and coaching at the highest of level. He's on the top 10 list, too, as well. You got to respect that. So the point of this is you get a guy who is going to give you structure, defensive-minded in terms of what Mike Zimmer is going to lend him. And this is a team that led the NFL last year in missed tackles. We all know. A lot of people think that's a physical thing. That's a physical execution. Boom, boom. Hey, pay attention to details. Finish the process. I think you bring in that type of leader, that's going to give you positive results.
What you did, Marcellus, you're right. The Browns, they will contend for the all-name team. They will, because they got names now. They got names.
Wad.
Baker, Heisman winner.
Right.
Number one overall pick. Right. Jarvis, he a dog. He a dog. He going to put up numbers. He a dog. Odell, I already praised that man. I can praise him again. He a dog. He a beast. Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb, in college, was a beast. Came in first year in the league. Beast, David Njoku, Nigerian brother. They got names now. Yeah. But names don't win you games, coach. Names don't win you games. And so I'm not worried about the Browns, the players, the individuals. But individuals and team are two completely different things. Now, can Stefanski come in and right the ship? Let's hope so. The Cleveland Browns drafted me. So first and foremost, I always have to put some love and respect on an organization.
Really? That bonus was that big? That bonus was that big?
I was a six-round pick, okay?
Oh,
that bonus was squandered quickly. But the Browns just can't get right for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so every year we take this same leap of faith. I was arguing with Dan Orlovsky last year at a different network about the same conversation. The Browns are going to win 10 games. The Browns are going to win the AFC North. Come on, bro. You gonna listen to that same lie, Marcellus? And not only are you going to listen to it, you going to try to tell it to me, your newest coworker?
I am.
That you cared about me.
I do care about you. I care so much about you. I'm going to break out one of them old adages that I heard. It's funny if you look at an army full of lions led by a sheep. A lot of people will be in fear of that, but they say you shouldn't. You should actually fear even an army of sheep that is led by a lion. And if you talk about Kevin Stefanski, as I know Kevin Stefanski coming from the Mike Zimmer tree, oh, they are now an army of lions that is led by a lion. I'm telling you, all of that stuff about Cleveland not living up to expectations of things of the past, we're going to see them go out there and ball out. Coming up, after an MVP season, Lamar Jackson's got a whole new kind of pressure this year. We'll tell you if he's going to take a step forward or a step back next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. We just getting started, but let's move now to Lamar Jackson, who's looking for a big follow-up to his MVP season. According to Lamar's personal QB coach, Joshua Harris, the quarterback's got a target on his back this year, and he ain't stopped putting in the work to improve his passing and his mental approach to the game. We're joined now by LeVar Arrington, whose birthday was yesterday, but for some reason, he still got them birthday balloons.
Damn,
sorry, LeVar, we're not celebrating you right now. But anyway, Marcellus,
for real,
I'm going to start with you.
Grow up.
I got to ask you this.
Yes.
Is Lamar more likely to take a step forward or back this season?
Step four, stop playing. It's the wrong dude if you're ever going to bet against Lamar Jackson. This is a guy, let's just go all the way back to his career at Louisville. who's only missed one game being this mobile running quarterback that should have been a wide receiver, has only missed one game, so he's durable. Now let's talk about the production in terms of him getting better every single year in major statistical categories. Every single year. Completions, completion percentage, passing yards. I mean, the guy continues to evolve his game every single year he steps on the field, despite the expectations of him being great when he steps on that same field. So I love me some Bill Polian, but what happened when Bill Polian was able to address Lamar Jackson in terms of criticism, everyone started to hold their breath for that first or next errant throw. And that just gives everyone confirmation bias to look at him through a lens that is more negative than necessary. This is a guy who last year in the offseason went out there and said, I need to focus on my accuracy. Changed his mechanics, and he improved it by almost 8 percentage points. This year, he's saying, I got to hit the deep ball outside the numbers. Beware, with the speedsters they have on their roster, if he's able to take that next step forward like he has in the past, everyone's in trouble. But let me give you some numbers, because a lot of people are saying, man, he set historical records last year. He was the MVP. He ain't going to be that great next year. He can't be the MVP again. Oh, contraire, mon frere. Look at these NFL MVP back-to-back winners as I have on this list right now, starting with a Peyton Manning right there. Peyton Manning went out there 4,200 pass yards, 29 touchdowns. People are like, that's amazing. He's not going to do that again. Next year, 4,549 touchdowns, led the NFL, which was a record at the time. He did it again. I'm not even going to bore you with that. Brett Favre, people was like, oh, you won 11 games. You're not going to do any better. 13 games the next year, 39 pass touchdowns, increased every year. So if you look at this list, Joe Montana did the same. Jim Brown was just bigger than everybody, so we get that. The point of it is you can be great and actually greater than great, and that's what we are going to expect, at least I am, for Lamar Jackson.
I like where you're coming from with that, Marcellus. I'm going to take it a different step, but say the same thing. I certainly believe he can take a step forward, but I don't think we have to wrap his stepping forward totally into a statistical measurement,
Yeah.
Like, you think about this. He is, you use the word evolution. I love that word, because if you're going to continue to be the best that you can be at anything in life, you got to constantly evolve. And so this is one of those young men that is aware of who he is. He's aware of where he wants to go with what he's doing. And he believes in his team in that manner, and his team believes in him. I look at Lamar Jackson, and he comes into this season, I don't look at him to run for over 1,200 yards. You know why? Because the evolution of Lamar Jackson will say, I can be more efficient in my running. If I need to run, I'll run. If I need to throw the ball, as his quarterback coach mentioned, listen, we know he has a target on his back. Mm. We know that what he's going to do now, everybody's going to look for him to be a better passer. But the reality of it is that he does not have to be a better passer as it applies to the way people are using it in the context that they're trying to frame him. All Lamar has to do is continue to evolve, be more effective and efficient as he learns more about what these defensive schemes are trying to do. It's a copycat league. You figure one out, you figured out half of them. You figure out two or three, you figured out all of them. And that's the reality of it. So I think he takes a step forward. Don't base it off of his stats this year.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I'm not necessarily going to disagree with you, because I'm smarter than that. But what I am going to do is I'm kind of going to throw a wet blanket, so to speak, on all of this, because I don't think Lamar Jackson will take a step back. I don't think he'll regress. I don't think that's the case. But I do think that Lamar may stay put as everyone else steps forward. Y'all remember the game, Mother May I, and you're all standing in the line.
Yes,
remember Mother that game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I'll be standing ahead, and Marcellus, what, Mother May Mother. I take three steps forward, and Marcellus will take these giant leaps and bounds.
Yes.
And I'll look to my right, and I'll look to my left, and all of a sudden my lead has dissipated. I think that's what'll happen with Lamar Jackson. I think you've given defensive coordinators nothing but time.
Mm.
And not only time, you've given them nothing but quarantine time. Mm. Where they probably send it home. It's either I'm going to study film or go have to garden or go have to do the dishes or go have to take out the trash. So you know what?
The honey-do list.
You know they're going to hide themselves and secure themselves in their offices and just watch tape and watch tape. And like you said, LeVar, it is a copycat league, in fact. But the difference is now you have coordinators who will have studied Lamar Jackson, who will have adjusted. Now, I will say this. Just because you call the right call And just because you get a defender in the right spot, it doesn't mean that you're going to win that matchup with Lamar. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think the defenses, defensive coordinators, defensive players and schemes will adjust, and therefore Lamar won't have the same crazy head and shoulders advantage he had last year.
Look, man, look, you scared. I'm just going to say it. I got to be frank right now. You scared. They watching film all this whole offseason. The Bulls are on you.
His own mentor, his quarterback coach said that to him. He said, yeah, I get it, and I'm watching film too. Guess what? When you want to move, I can move too. You move, I move just like that. Come on, man. Like, I don't give a damn if these coaches say, oh, we figured you out. Oh, you don't know my next move. And trust me, it's going to be faster than your move and whoever you put out there. This is an interesting topic in terms of like how it hits you in terms of your confidence and really your foresight in terms of confidence and what you want to attain. So many people get up the mountain. Teachers used to always say that. It's easy to get an A, but it's hard to keep an A. And I used to be like, no, it's kind of hard to get an A. And like in this class, and once you get an A, you're supposed to internalize that confidence and say, oh, these boys ain't gonna never catch me. But somehow in this world, we like let the pressure and the gravity pull us back down to where we think inevitably we're gonna just fall into the pack. Hell no. I am doing a show right now with a 29-year-old host. And I remember when I was a 35-year-old host, people were patting me on the back because they were like, man, we've not seen that. He's already Sean McVay-ing it up here, doing it earlier than I did. But even greater than that is that we're the first Daily Show that I have ever seen that has two athletes hosting it. Hold on. If your mind is not hell-bent on breaking new ground all the time, then you're not going to be great. But Lamar Jackson is great. You know why? Because his mind is hell-bent on always breaking new ground. The dude's going to ball.
Can I just drop the mic on y'all real quick?
Please. Do it.
If y'all don't recall what he was doing on that beach that day that we talked about him running into the jet ski, all those defensive coordinators need to do, if they watching all that film, is watch when his flip-flops come off right there. after that, I'm going to drop the mic after that because I don't care what defensive scheme you call, what you think is going to happen when you call over cover two, dog right, make him run to the left. I don't care if you hit the A gap, B gap, C gap, or any other gap. When them flip-flops come off this man and you see that extra gear that he goes into, you see it hitting shoulders, Acho, he will not be that guy that gets closer where guys are now head and head with him. Preach. He is still going to be head and shoulders a little bit faster and better than these guys coming after him.
Man, LeVar, you are correct. And Marcellus, you're right. Lamar Jackson is a trendsetter, but I will say this. He's no Marcellus Wiley or Emmanuel Acho.
Cam Newton is getting
a fresh start in New England. But is it possible he's not a lot to be the starter? That's crazy talk. We gonna get into that next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to New England, where Cam Newton just signed and the quarterback is already working out with new teammate Mohamed Sanu. Despite the excitement, NBC Sports Boston says Cam's health is still an issue and that the signing isn't a knock on Jarrett Stidham. LeVar Arrington is back, and I'm actually coming to you first because yesterday in your birthday prep, you said Cam wasn't a lock to be the week one starter in New England. You really believe that?
Thank you for giving me the microphone this time before you gave it to Young Pink Shirt. I had my pink shirt on today.
Hey,
as well,
guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go, guys. Listen, the problem with what you guys did on the show yesterday about Cam being the starter and me doing my birthday prep is that you failed to understand one simple fact here,
please.
We can get away from all of the statistical categories and all these different things y'all want to use to try to justify things and use those educational words that y'all use. I get that, all right? Here's an educational word for y'all right now.
What?
Nostalgia, okay? Nostalgia is allowing for you, Marcellus, and you, Acho, to not see the truth about what the circumstance present with one Cam Newton going to the New England Patriots. I was watching Mike Tyson not too long ago, and I was like, man, look at the way he's moving. He's lost all that weight. He's in shape. Like, he's hitting them bags hard. He's hitting that man's They even made memes where he knocked the man through the wall when he hit him with the pads, right? And I start thinking to myself, that all looks good, feels good, until he really got into a fight. Like, imagine him getting into a heavyweight fight in the ring where it's a real fight going on. The point I'm making is the nostalgia connected to what I feel when I see Mike Tyson, what I remember of Mike Tyson, doesn't allow for me to sit there and actually comprehend the fact that he would not be the Mike Tyson that I remember if he went into that ring. That's what you guys are suffering from with Cam Newton right now. His last surgery was a foot surgery. That man is an Adonis. He's 6 foot, what, six, 6'5"? The dude is at least 230 some pounds. The man is big, all right? When you're talking about surgeries that come from pressure-bearing joints and places on your body, we all know as football players, what's the first thing you say, Marcellus, as an old head? What's the first thing you say? Clock's ticking. Yeah. You know why? Because you can't get out of the way of that. So now we got to see, is Cam Newton healthy enough to be able to do that? I'll just stop there and let y'all go with it from there. The nostalgia has hindered you both from being able to see the truth about him not going in there and just walking into being a starter.
LeVar.
Thank you, please.
There is something called paralysis by analysis.
Okay, by analysis, okay.
And you, my friend, have paralyzed yourself.
That guy.
By trying to analyze and break down all the compositions of Cam Newton's previous injury.
That guy. Where you at?
Okay.
That guy.
LeVar.
Okay. Get him.
Okay.
Remember, I think it was the movie Men in Black. Men in Black. And Tommy Lee Jones is handing out the guns. And he pulls out his big gun. And then he gives Will Smith this little noisy cricket. A little gun about this side. Okay, a little noisy cricket. What you're going to tell me with a straight face, LeVar, is that you can walk into this locker room as Bill Belichick. You can see Cam Newton in all of his glory.
Lord!
6'5", 250. Chiseled like Marcellus Wiley in his prime.
You're gonna walk past Cam Newton
and go to the noisy cricket and Jared Stidham. Now, mind you, Jared Stidham was a great quarterback in college. He really has, and I think Jared Stidham will be a great quarterback in the league.
Don't try to be nice. Keep going.
But I'm not gonna sit here and let you, LeVar, truly with a straight face and total sincerity, try to tell me that you would start Jared Stidham. Over Cam Newton. Like, you can't even say that with a straight face, bro.
Nah, you really can't.
Do you want to go, Marcellus?
No. Y'all having a little fun right here.
Before I address him?
Go get him, dog.
Let me tell you what you are, Mr. Macho Acho. Let me put this straight. You are a selective hater, is what you are. And you need to stop that. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to call you selective hater.
Because once I have
logged the way how many times somebody has selectively hated on somebody, you now go into that category. I recall you hating on one Mr. What's my man out in San Francisco? Oh, Jimmy. What's that quarterback name?
Jimmy.
What, Jimmy G? Mm-hmm. Okay. Were you just hating on Jimmy G the same exact way you're hating on Stidham right now?
How so,
Where
sir?
Did Jimmy G come from? Where did he come from? What team did he come
here
from?
Here he goes.
Tell me what team he came from.
The New England Patriots,
the
sir.
Same team that Mr. Stidham's on right now. Mm. So maybe you got a connection with New England that you don't like about some of these quarterbacks. But yes, with a straight face, Stidham will start. And let me tell you something. It is not the Patriot way for a guy to come in and just because you look at what his size looks like and what his stature is and, oh, yeah, the nostalgia connected to one Cam Newton. You're not going to sit there and justify that. I'm going to take Stidham out and put this guy in. What if he falters coming out of the gates? What if he can't spin them tires coming out of the gates? And now you have sat there and you have alienated Stidham. Now you have made him to feel like he's a second-rate citizen in the locker room that he came from based upon what? What y'all think he's going to do? Ooh. Y'all better leave me alone with this selective haterism. I'm blocking it, man. Ooh. I'm blocking it.
Well, it's kind of obvious that the drinks haven't worn off just yet from the birthday celebration yesterday. You're still intoxicated on this Jared Stidham campaign. Okay, go, Jared. Like, they just divorced Tom Brady. They ain't getting married that fast. And if they are, it ain't going to be the Jared Stidham.
Talk about it.
They going to go in them streets, hit the club, and then they going to see Cam walk through and say, Lord, I know I said I ain't going to fall in love again, but damn it, Cam Newton's in the building. And look, I'm going to be real about all of this. You are measuring Cam Newton in the wrong perspective.
Let him know.
You're looking at that Ferrari and saying, I don't know about it. You know why? Because you're looking at it when it was on flat. A Ferrari, I don't care what car it is, on flat, it ain't going to roll right.
Change the tires.
But they changed them tires.
Change them tires.
My man been out for a year and a half basically saying, you know what? Okay, I got something for you. And you seen them videos. That Ferrari ready to roar once again. So in this situation, you got to respect who Cam Newton is. Look, we all been through the formality. I was a second-round pick. You were the second overall pick.
He got money.
Hella money. They go through that morale formality and try to protect the egos and personalities of the status quo. And they put you third on the depth chart. I told you yesterday, LaDainian Tomlinson, who was the fifth overall pick and a Hall of Famer, they had him third on the depth chart behind dudes that he could walk backwards and beat in the depth chart. And he actually did.
And Marcellus.
So I'm not trying to hear this fake depth chart you're trying to give me. Week one. Cam Newton's in the building and he's starting.
Marcellus, I was looking at your suit earlier on before we came on the air and I was like, man, I wonder why he has this on. Now it has become clear. You have your used car salesman jacket on and your used sales car tie on and your tie holder, your clip, and you're selling a used car right now. So I will not hate on you for doing what it is that you have been purposed to do on this show today, which is to come in here and sell that used car. God bless. Let's go to the next one.
All right, I'm going
to
sell some more Hyundais there. I guess I need a Carfax. I don't know. Let's move on to other places in the NFL where there's another guy who may not be getting the respect he deserves. CBS Sports just put out their rankings of the top 10 coaches in the NFL. And after some unsurprising names at the top of the list, some people were surprised to see the Eagles' Doug Peterson all the way down at number 9. With the Eagles Super Bowl winning coach being ranked below guys like Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, who haven't won a Super Bowl yet. Acho! Crazy that Peterson is ranked this low. This list is quite literally the craziest list, gentlemen, that I have seen compiled about football talk. Now, there are a bunch of question marks on this list, a ton of them, a ton of errors on this list, but I'm going to focus on one. To have Doug Peterson at number 9, behind guys that haven't even won Super Bowls before in Shanahan and McVay, it's absolutely ludicrous. Doug Peterson is a top 5 head coach, and I'm going to tell you why.
Ludicrous.
It has nothing to do with last year and what he did, still securing the Eagles' home field advantage with such a limited and depleted roster. But let's go back to 2017, the Super Bowl champion 2017 Eagles. Let's think about what happened that season. Starting left tackle, future Hall of Famer Jason Peters, hurt. One of the best all-purpose running backs the game has ever seen in Darren Sproles, hurt. Star special teams player in Chris Marigold's hurt. Star linebacker Jordan Hicks hurt. He takes a completely depleted roster. He loses Carson Wentz, who likely would have won the MVP that year. He takes Nick Foles, a man who contemplated retirement, and he goes and he beats the Patriots when Tom Brady plays quite literally his best game and quite literally the biggest game on the biggest stage, which is the Super Bowl. But then I really started looking deep into the thing and said, what makes Doug Peterson so great? Remember, he took a roster that was quite literally worse than the roster from the coach that preceded him. Remember, Chip Kelly trades away LaShawn McCoy, doesn't re-sign Jeremy Maclin, a team that had more talent and accomplished less, Doug Peterson takes and wins a chip with. So how can you have Doug Peterson this low? The last thing, gentlemen, that I'll say is this. This is how I knew Doug Peterson was a great coach. It's the second quarter, Super Bowl.
Here we go.
38 seconds left. Coaches are prideful, but not Doug Peterson, because Nick Foles, he jogs to the sideline and he says, hey, coach, you want to run Philly? Doug Peterson says, yeah. Let's run the most historic, iconic play in the Super Bowl in the last several years, where you have your tight end who hasn't thrown a pass since college throw a pass to Nick Foles after Tom Brady, a quarterback earlier in the game, had dropped a pass. So is Doug Peterson ranked too low? Absolutely, because the dude is top 5 and maybe top 3.
Yeah, talk about 4 years' time as a head coach. You've gone to the playoffs twice and won Super Bowl. That's rare air, right? Like, you are breathing air that I think only two other active coaches have been able to do, which are on that list, and Peyton and Tomlin. And listen, when you look at it, I hate to be the one that pinpoints, you know, McVay and Shanahan, because I think they've done very well and they've done excellent jobs. But I think that you got to take this list and you got to take those two young boys out. And I know whoever did the list is probably prognosticating on what they're going to be continuing moving forward, I would assume. But I think you just got to move those guys down from Mike Tomlin and take Kyle Shanahan and McVay and move them out and replace them. And then I think Doug Peterson ends up at 7 on the list. I'm not going to put him ahead of Curl. I'm not going to put him ahead of Tomlin. And the reason why is, even though he's done very well, the amount of coaching and success that those guys have had in Curl and Tomlin also would require them to be a little bit higher on the list. So when I look at what Doug Peterson has accomplished, he's accomplished more than even what his mentor, his role model, and Andy Reid accomplished early on in his career. And so when you think about Doug Peterson, I just really find myself saying, okay, you know what? He has accomplished a lot in a little bit of time. But I do think that winning the Super Bowl and that amount of times, the frequency of going to the playoffs, definitely is the reason why he should be higher.
Oh, man. Doug Peterson shouldn't be this low, shouldn't be a number 9. I'm going to make a case that he shouldn't even be on the damn list. But I'm going to get to that. I know I'm going to upset you, Acho, in your pockets because you're a Philly guy and you play for the Eagles, so you're trying to protect your VIP pass and your parking space. But I'm going to mess with all that. But let me get you first, Mr. Arrington. Shanahan and McVay shouldn't be on this list. Excuse me, Dougie Fresh. Shanahan only has one season as a head coach that we should really measure. And that was last year because the injuries to his quarterbacks, this dude is running out guys that we see in the parking lot and making them play quarterback for his first 2 years. But finally, he gets his quarterback healthy and has him for a full year. Oh, all he does is win 13 games, goes to the Super Bowl, up 10 points, and then his historic defense lets him down. But he still called the play that if Jimmy G just would have hit, oh, he's already a Super Bowl winning coach in 3 years. Okay, so that's interesting. Sean McVay has the highest win percentage of all these coaches on here in his short stay. In his worst year, he still went out there and won 9 games. And you know your boy Doug Peterson, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7. Sean McVay at his worst is Doug Peterson at his average. He does have a 13-win season in there, but that doesn't help my argument. But let's go even deeper than that.
Please.
Here's who should be on the list, and Doug Peterson's need to say, peace. Mike McCarthy. Can we respect his gangster a little more than we are?
What?
Who has a higher win percentage out of Mike McCarthy and Doug Peterson? Y'all do the math. Who's been in the league longer? Y'all do the math. Who's had more playoff success? Y'all do the math. And he's also won a Super Bowl. So if we're really going to go out there and start slighting people, the list was about not only past success, not heavily that, future, and Super Bowls were not counted heavily.
Please.
If you guys finished the article, he said, I'm not counting just Super Bowls. But I had to just go in there and slice y'all up.
I did not want to do this, Marcellus, because I care about you. I care about you as a man, as a father, as a husband. I care about you.
He about to assassinate you.
But your first point was that Kyle Shanahan, we can't even count the year because he lost his quarterback.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson took a backup quarterback and won the whole god dang thing. That was a quarterback that was thinking about retiring. Read his article, sir, and read his book.
They didn't.
But beyond that,
he was a backup.
Mike McCarthy, we don't even know how good he is without Aaron Rodgers, quite literally the actually best quarterback physically the game has seen in the last 20 years. So how in God's name, his most gracious name, are you actually going to tell me that Kyle Shanahan deserves a pass because he had a backup quarterback and that Mike McCarthy belongs anywhere near this list?
My mama didn't raise no fools.
She didn't.
I know when I lost the argument. Coming up at the NBA News and return, Adam Silver says the new COVID wave could put an end to the reboot. We'll discuss next. Speak for yourself, then about Hyundai. Run, boy, run.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. We having too much fun on this set. Let's move now to the NBA, where the league is getting ready to restart the season later this month. But Commissioner Adam Silver is already throwing cold water on the relaunch, saying the league could shut down again if there's another COVID outbreak in the NBA community in Orlando. We're joined now by the best analyst in the land. Rick Bucher. Rick,
I'm gonna start with you. What's your reaction to Silver's comments here?
Well, Adam, look, Adam, I think we can agree on this. Adam has established himself as the most woke, player-friendly commissioner in all of sports over the last year. That's fair, right?
Yes, fair. True, true.
So he's also, he's one of the best communicators, and he's very good with his language, as most lawyers are. So imagine if he had the reverse, considering the current condition of the country, where we have a spike in coronavirus cases, and we have social justice at the forefront. Imagine if instead of expressing caution, he was saying, with a league full of predominantly black players, no problem here. We're good. We know what we're doing. How that would play as far as being the most woke player-friendly commissioner in the league wouldn't play very well. The reality is there any chance they're going to say no to this, that they're going to shut things down? They've invested more than $100 million in this bubble. And I dare say they would invest another $100 million to get this started up again. I think the most telling thing is the way he answered the question that started all this, which was, is the NBA, is there any chance they won't go to Orlando, or is it full steam ahead? And he said, never full steam ahead, no matter what. Now, part of it, it's a badly formed question. You don't give an easy out. But he could have said, yes, there is a chance. Because the reality is, there's not. They have way too much invested. The economics are there. And they have built this bubble with the idea that we can protect our players better than they are out just in the public and living their lives. They're going to go by that. So it is, regardless of what's going on the outside, they have put all their chips, they pushed them to the middle of the table to say, we need to get this thing started somehow, some way, but he needs to play it so that his players don't revolt and so the public doesn't look at it and change their opinion of Adam Silver.
Yeah, to me, this feels like one of the rare moments. I mean, rare. I could count on one hand and half of that hand where I could look at Adam Silver in this moment and say, I think this is bad leadership. And it's kind of to what you were saying, because he is woke, because he wears his heart on his sleeve and he's listening to every single issue. You can't do it all, Adam. Perfect is the enemy of good. So I think right now he's just trying to carry the top floor and the bottom floor, which means you're carrying the whole damn building. I think you need a football mindset right now. Let me help you, because a lot of people don't want to say this because it sounds so taboo. But this last few months, we've been living through a health and economic balance and trying to figure out, okay, we got to protect everyone and their life, but also we got to protect everyone's money and their livelihood. Well, in football, the way we're going to look at the coronavirus is this. We are going full steam ahead, and if you contract it, you will be treated like you have a physical injury. You are out for 2 weeks. Basically, you will be out longer if you had a high ankle sprain than if you have to quarantine with the coronavirus. And I hate to have to say that for Adam, because I know he can't say that, but that needs to be the mindset, because in this world, when you're talking about running a business, a private business in the free market, there are no solutions. They're just trade-offs. So guess what? You're going to compromise the roster. It will be an abbreviated season with an abbreviated roster. And guess what you need to do in those moments? Go full stream ahead to give us the most out of the little we can extract from this year.
Adam Silver, you got to be all in or all out. That's how I look at it, gentlemen. Like, Marcellus, you can probably get down with this. At over like 240 pounds, running is no longer a strong suit. And every time I step on the track, I'm like, okay, Yacho, we gonna run these 2 miles, regardless of the lower back pain, regardless of the bad knees, regardless of the bad ankles, we gonna run these 2 miles. Because Slick Rick, if I'm ever like, if you start to hurt, just shut it down. And guess what? After about one lap, when I'm huffing and puffing, I'ma just tap out. Rah. You have to commit before you ever start. Then rain or sunshine, I'm all in. So Adam Silver, he has to realize, look, if you're going to separate families from players, if you're going to sequester players into dorm rooms, essentially, pull them from their mansions, pull them away from their wives, their loved ones, etc., you have to commit to the whole thing. Because it's not fair to get into game 2 of the NBA Finals
and then shut it down. It's not fair to get into series two of the Western Conference Finals in the next series and then shut it down. You're either all in or you're all out, Adam Silver. Coming up, is Antonio Brown going to reunite with Tom Brady in Tampa? Uncle Jimmy weighs in on the latest rumors. Next, speak for yourself. Welcome back. Let's talk Antonio Brown, whose dreams of a comeback may be getting closer to reality. According to former GM Mike Lombardi, the Tampa Bay Bucs are thinking about signing the receiver and reuniting him with Tom Brady. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy.
Uncle Jimmy.
Do you think AB sure. would be a good fit for Brady's Bucs? What's up, Unc? What you think?
Okay, man. Let me tell you something, man.
Talk to me.
Both of y'all are starting to come across as a little too uppity for my personal preference right about now.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
See, both of y'all done got a little too bougie for your own good, see? Y'all done got to a point in life to see y'all don't have barbecues no more.
Huh?
Y'all have cookouts.
Oh.
Y'all know as well as I do that Antonio Brown is that dude that you do not want showing up at your cookout.
Why not?
Okay. But the only reason he shows up is because you done gave in to peer pressure and everybody telling you how good he's doing, how well he's doing. But you know good and damn well, as soon as he shows up, you know what's going to happen. Before you know it, he done busted Mike Evans in the head with a bottle. He cussing Tom Brady out for putting raisins in the potato salad.
Not raisins.
You getting in trouble because it was your cookout and it was your charcoal that AB burnt his feet up on. That's why they call him AB. Always burnt. Fool with him if you want to.
Yeah, not the raisins, Uncle Jimmy. For us, right? Who burnt down the house?